like to welcome you to the memorial service and program for Nelson Charles Gunther Jr., Chuck, as many of you lovingly referred to him as. My name is Pastor Matt Postiff. I'm the pastor of Fellowship Bible Church, and on the behalf of the church and myself, I'd like to extend to you a warm welcome, our condolences, and also I'd like to just let you know that if there's anything that you need today, our church family, some of whom are here, will be glad to assist you in whatever way you need. You've seen that there are two restrooms on the other side of that wall there. Also through the library, there are two more back here if you need them. Anytime during the service, you can see Mr. Reed in the back at the sound system. And also there's Mr. Bratton here somewhere, not in the room at the moment. And thank you for your patience with the parking situation. Some of you have found it a little bit difficult because of the large crowd. We are glad that you are all here this morning. I'd like to just open by reading the obituary, which you see in the inside of your program, or on the card, which Gretchen Ardner has provided for you. And so I'd like to just read that at this time. Nelson Gunther, age 51, of Plymouth, Michigan, peacefully passed away September 24, 2009, surrounded by his loved ones. He was born December 3, 1957, in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He is the son of Nelson Charles Gunther Sr. and Gretchen Ann Pagan Gunther. Survivors include Nelson Charles Sr. and Elaine Gunther, son Michael and Pam Gunther, son Matthew Gunther, daughter Faith, grandkids Hannah, Savannah and Ashton, sisters Judy and Charlie Moore, Terry and Dave Wood, Sharon Anderson, Michelle and David Scott, Gretchen and John Ardner, Sue Gunther, brothers Robert Maxwell Gunther and Scott, and Pam Burke, Brent and Donna Gunther, Mark Gunther, fiancée Tammy Solak, I'm sorry if I'm not getting all these names correct, stepdaughter Jessica, and many nieces and nephews. Chuck was preceded in death by his mother Gretchen Ann Burke, Uncle Warren Gunther, and Uncle Frederick Roberts. I'd like to read from the 23rd Psalm as well this morning. Very well-known and loved passage of Scripture, Psalm 23, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Would you bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer to God? We come to you, our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of comforts and the God of all mercy, to ask of you comfort in this time of grief, to reflect on the fact that you have comforted those who have been in like a state in time past, and to ask that you will do that once again, in our case, this very morning. Lord, we mourn for the loss of this, our beloved son and brother and father and friend and uncle and all of this, whatever relationship that Chuck sustained to each one of these folks here was precious to them. And our God, you know this. And so I pray in the midst of this difficult time that you will help Oh, Father, I pray too that you will help us to consider our spiritual estate, to know that though Chuck reached this point of his existence before all of us, we still have to deal with and contend with this fact as well. And so I pray that it will be good for us to be here today, profitable for our souls. Lord, may Jesus Christ be honored and glorified in our midst, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask if you'll join me and take your hymnals. There should be hymnals in front of you or underneath the seat in front of you as well. If you're in the front row there, there should be 6 or 7 hymnals per row, so that should be enough. And turn to hymn number 187. 187. I trust this is familiar with you. 187. And we'll sing together as a congregation this song, Amazing Grace, 187. When you've turned there, would you please all stand in honor of the Lord and the memory of Chuck, and we will pray and sing together, Amazing Grace. All together.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Thank you. You may be seated. I also wanted to mention this morning that our memorial service is being recorded on the computer. We will strive to make it available as soon as we can on our church's website for those of you that would like to hear it. I say that also because your comments will be recorded on there as part of the memorial service. And that's the part of the service that we've reached just now. I'd like to ask if there be any family or friends that would like to share a thought or a memory of Chuck. You are welcome to do that now. You could stand up right where you are, or you could come right up here to the podium if you'd like to be more easily heard. Yes, Dave has approached me, and he will come and say something if no one else is going to jump up in here now. Dave, thank you.
This is going to be tough. Bear with me. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Dave O'Connor. I'm fortunate to be friends of the Gunther family for 40 years. I've known Nelson Sr. since I was 8. He put me in my place a few times. Thank you. My parents are on vacation. I went to school with Mark and Susie. And Charlie basically has been family with me for the last 6 years. I know everybody here is family. He has a story. If he's been to your house, he has either painted a room at your house, changed the door, put a bathroom in, put a kitchen in, built you half a house. If you came there and said you needed your carpet vacuumed, he'd probably end up recarpeting a whole house at his expense. And first time I worked with him, I'm not going to try to get too technical, but we were putting a water heater in, and usually they're in the basement. You take the old one out, you bring the new one in on a dolly. Two people carry it down the stairs. I was taking the old one out. I turned around, and he was carrying it down the stairs like a football, the water heater. It was just, if you're technical or in the business, it was amazing. He did a bathroom and a kitchen in my house, among other things. I had three contractors. I had a deck put in. I was having a deck put in, my wife and I, in our backyard. And it was like a bowling alley. It was huge. I had three contractors said they could not do it. There was no way. Money really wasn't even a factor. We just wanted to get it done. Charlie and Bub got it done in a week, working a couple hours a day at night. And it's beautiful. And it's quite a scene to see Charlie and Bubba work together, if anybody's ever seen that. His children, even he was ticked off at you, he loved you all. He bragged about you and his grandkids. It sounds selfish now. I was in a catastrophic car accident about 4 or 5 years ago. They required a lot of therapy, lawyers, doctors, the whole shot. And the first thing they recorded was they wanted to know what my first memory was. And I had had a closed head injury, and I was seeing double, at least at the time, or triple. My first memory was, I don't remember being in the hospital or coming home, but it was waking up in bed, and I don't know how we got past my wife at the door because she was keeping everybody away. My first memory was waking up in bed with Charlie next to me, his head right here, seeing three of them. And he gave me a kiss. And he had brought me Lee's chicken, told him I wasn't hungry. He said, no problem, I'll eat it. When we first started working together, we went to a restaurant in Plymouth. It was an all-you-can-eat buffet, and we walked through the line, and it was an Italian place, and he stacked up probably 8 slices of pizza. There was 2 layers of pizza on the plate. I said, Charlie, you're allowed to go back more than once. He said, bro, I'm just getting started. And I sat and started eating, and he disappeared. I thought he went to get a beverage, and he came back with a mountain of pasta, and I mean a mountain. And if you've ever seen him eat, it's pretty impressive. Nelson Sr., he was so excited. Every time he knew you were coming up from Florida, he would tell everybody. I know we got together a few times. He idolized you. Eric, for those of you that don't know, he's worked with Eric the last 2 years. He's been so happy every day. He had his truck, he had his trailer, he had his tools. He got to gut houses in Detroit. If you've ever seen him do some demo work, it's pretty impressive. You made him very happy. You let him do what he wanted to do. Almost done. Sorry. Tammy and Jessica. Tammy, when he first started the relationship with you, he was so walking on the ceiling. Wow. Come over to my house, telling us. He adored you both. We talked about getting Jessica, he got you the car. He would come over and tell us every day because, you know, we lived close. And he, basically, that's it. Tammy, you know what he thought of you. You completed him. And that's it. Thanks.
Is there anyone else that would like to share a memory? Yes, ma'am. Thank you, dear. Cut anybody off. Is there anyone else? It's my privilege to be asked to do this memorial service for you as a family. I thank you very much, Nelson Sr., and all of the brothers and sisters and family and friends that are here to give us this privilege as a church family, for me as a minister of the gospel. And I trust that it will be able to bring some comfort and a profit to you even through this very difficult time. We're here today to bring a sense of closure to a very difficult couple of weeks. a couple of weeks that 3 weeks ago you never anticipated would happen in your lives. We're here also to honor the memory of a life lived, cut short, but nonetheless lived. Why do we do that? I think you and I also together understand that we do that because life is valuable. Life has inherent value to it. It's because God has made us in His likeness and in His image that we come today to show respect to a life that was lived. And Chuck did that. And I'm glad to hear some of these words of memory given on his behalf. It sounded like he was a very, very helpful man. And I'm unfortunately at a distinct disadvantage compared to you all because I did not know him. But I want to share some things that generally might be of help to you. God is the giver and taker of life. Job said after he lost his 10 children, his wife turned against him, and the world seemed to fall apart before his very eyes. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, I mentioned that I did not know Mr. Gunther. And nothing that I can say here today will change his spiritual state now. I don't have any special powers. I'm just a man. That matter was settled between him and God. Neither you nor I are the judges. We are not given privilege to let somebody into heaven or take them out. That is God's business between him and the man or the woman. That fate of his was sealed when he passed away, that very moment. But this means that we're also not only here today to honor a life lived and to bring closure to a very difficult couple of weeks, but it also means that we are here to see what our spiritual state is. One of the wisest men that ever lived, Solomon, in the Bible says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning, the house of sorrow, than to the house of feasting." Why did he say that? This is awful. He said that because of the profit that you could gain for your soul and your thoughts of eternity in the midst of difficult times like this. We tend to focus our thoughts on things of heaven and things of God and spiritual things in times like these. We don't do that in times of happiness as much, in times of mirth and joy and feasting. So the most important thing that we could accomplish today also is that we consider our own estate. After all, there's still time for us to turn to God. Your fate is not sealed in the sense that you will spend eternity apart from God if you just simply choose Christ today. There's still that time for you to do that. Maybe, well, I understand that Chuck had experience with God. I've been told that by members of the family. But maybe you never have. And if that is really what happened with him, then he is in heaven. And my question to you is, will you be there? Will you be there? Maybe you don't know God at all, but you wonder when your final evaluation comes, what's going to be said? Will it be, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or will it be, "I never knew you"? The scriptures tell us how to know, how to have a personal relationship with God. There are two kinds of people. Dear friends, please listen. Please listen. There are Christians and there are non-Christians. That's all. There's no middle road. There's no half and half. You're either in or you're out. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. The Bible makes that very clear. Of course, there are those who call themselves Christians, but then you wonder by their lifestyle, are they really for real? You know what we call those, don't you? Hypocrites. Don't pull my leg. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have said, I am not going to that church? I'm not going to any church because it's full of a bunch of hypocrites. Some people say and then they don't do. But I don't want you to confuse this. There are those who are sinners and try to hide it. Those are hypocrites. There are those who are sinners and admit it. And they deal with that. And they confess their sins. And they ask forgiveness. And they say they're sorry. There's a world of difference between them. A person is not a hypocrite if they sin. A person is only a hypocrite if they sin and don't deal with it in the way that God wants them to deal with it. If they try to hide it and cover it and think that they themselves are so good and perfect, that's hypocrisy. The scriptures tell us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27 that it's appointed unto men once to die. And following that, the judgment. This means that we all have to deal with the issue of death. What happens after you die? Your body's put into the grave, or it's cremated, or whatever happens to it. But everybody has that common and shared fate. You also will, if the Lord does not return soon, you also will experience this end that Chuck has experienced already. The scriptures are clear about that. Every cemetery is a witness to that. Doesn't matter what religion you are or anything like that. Everybody will die. Your body will go into that estate of being decomposed. Now, you might be asking, if you're following along, and you've probably asked this week, last week, why? Why? Why do people die? Why did Chuck die? Why so young? Why did he go before his father? Those thoughts must have crossed your mind. We know who. We know what happened. We know where it happened. We know how it happened. But do you know why it happened? Why is a very difficult question, isn't it? A very difficult question. The Bible tells us, in part, that the answer to that question is, as I will just now read from Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 says, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world and death came through sin. So if you're asking yourself the question why, then one answer is sin. Sin is what brought death into the world. What is sin? Sin is doing those things which are displeasing to God. And you know what those things are. Just think of the Ten Commandments. Think of other things. Your conscience tells you what is wrong, what is right. Now, there's another question that goes beyond that question. And that question is, if the why of death is sin, then why sin? Why did God allow that? You follow my thinking? Why sin? Why sin in the first place? I'm not here to answer that question today. That is a very, very difficult question. That question, I believe, has an answer. I believe that God had good reasons for allowing people to choose the wrong path. He had very good reasons to do that, but we cannot discuss all of that right now. But we know that everyone does die. We also know that there's another fact that's very important for us to keep in mind, and that is that our soul is eternal. It lives forever. Our body decomposes, but we have a soul that lives forever. Remember, I said there are two types of people. There are Christians, their soul goes to heaven immediately when they die. There are non-Christians, their soul goes to Hades immediately when they die. What makes the difference? What is the deciding factor that decides when one is on this path or on this path. And it really is this: Jesus, the Son of God. He is the crux. He is the fork in the road. He is the choosing point. You can choose one way for Christ or one way against Him. One way for heaven, one way for Hades. Now, I want to be very clear this morning. If I was not very clear, I wouldn't be a good minister of the gospel. I want to be very clear that you know where your soul is going. The Bible gives us a test. I'll put it in these kinds of words. If you were to say to yourself these sorts of things, then the Bible says that you're not really a Christian. You might say to yourself, I'm a good person, I'm okay. My good will outweigh my bad in the end at my final judgment. I don't believe in Jesus as the Messiah. I've given a lot. I've attended church. I've helped. I've been baptized. I've given money to the Lord, whatever. So therefore, I'm fine. Maybe you say to yourself, after I die, I just cease to exist. I don't know about all that Jesus stuff. Or maybe the most vexing of them all. I was just ministering to a man who had this thought in his mind. I don't believe in God because He lets all of this bad stuff happen. If those are the thoughts of your heart, then you know that you're not a Christian according to the Bible's definition. However, you are a believer. You are going to heaven if you say these sorts of things. I'm a sinful person. I have done wrong. I have done wrong before God. But Jesus died for my sins. He took my place so that I would not have to spend eternity in hell. Jesus was raised from the dead. Your thoughts are something like this: if I don't have Jesus' good standing before God, His righteousness, I'm doomed. Your thoughts are like this: I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I will be saved by Christ alone, not by any works that I can do, not by any giving, attending church, giving money, helping others. None of that obtains salvation. You might say to yourself also, Jesus is my Lord, and He's worthy of my worship. That's how you know if you're a Christian. Now, we know that everybody dies. Their body goes to the grave. Their soul goes somewhere, one place or the other. But that's not the end of it. The Bible also promises that because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, that's why we celebrate Easter. For that very fact, we know that we also will all be resurrected. Chuck's body will be raised again. Yours as well. Mine also, when I die. And when that happens, the soul will return to that body from wherever it's been, from Hades or from hell. It will be rejoined to that reconstituted body that God has miraculously raised. And then the scriptures say, it's appointed to men once to die, and then the judgment. And in that resurrected body, they will be judged before God. And God will pass a judgment on them. Not man, not me, God. God is the perfect and just judge. And then at that point, He will send the Christians back to heaven, and those that are non, remember I said there's two ways, or the non-Christians back to hell. And there they will be forever and ever. I hope that you will choose eternal life today by coming to Jesus and saying, I face the same fate that Chuck did, physical death, because of my sin. And I want to know that I have a home in heaven, that all those that have gone before me will also, I will also see them there in heaven. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, that He rose again the third day, and you will have a home in heaven. The scriptures tell us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Personalize that for yourself. Put your name in there. God so loved Nelson Charles Gunther that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, that is, eternally perish in hell, but have everlasting life. That's what God has done for you. Yes, he let us go our own way. Like sheep, we have all gone astray. We have chosen poorly. But God also supplied a way for us to be saved from that. And so here's the bottom line. It's as easy as ABC. Admit you're a sinner. Ask God's forgiveness. Believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and confess him as your Lord. A, B, C. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe in Christ and confess him. Call upon him to be your Lord and Savior. You can do that in a short prayer. You can do that in just a moment when we bow our heads and pray. He will hear that prayer. He will hear that prayer. You might wonder, God, you didn't hear my prayer the last 2 weeks. He will hear this one, and he will answer. Would you receive him today as your Savior? I'd be happy to talk with you more about this privately, if you would like, after this service, during the lunch, or afterwards. It would be our delight to have you speak to us about this. You can see the gentleman that I pointed out. My wife is in the back. She will sing in just a moment. Christy, who played the piano, is here as well. If you're a lady, you could see her and speak with her as well. If you've made those arrangements with God, A, B, and C, then you can have great joy today, even in the midst of great sorrow. Even in the midst of the passing, the untimely passing, I might add, of Nelson Charles Gunther. But God had his time. And like him, our times are in God's hands. God controls all things, and he has a date marked out for you as well. Will you believe in him before then? Let me pray. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will seal these words to our hearts. Lord, I trust that you will press the importance of this message on each of us. Lord, I pray for people here to hear the words of God and not to receive them as the words of a pastor from a small church in Ann Arbor, but to receive them as they are in truth, the words of the living and true God who made all things and to whom all things will go. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite my wife, Naomi Postiff, to come and share with us a ministry of music. Then we'll have a closing prayer and a recessional, and that will be the conclusion of our service today.
God loves you and me. Love for mankind to show. me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Thank you. After the service, whenever you folks are ready, you may go ahead and move on down to the room next door and share a meal together. If there are not enough tables and chairs, we'll round them up for you. I'd like to invite all of you to stay and just enjoy a time of friendship and family and gathering around the tables to comfort and console one another, to think about these things of which we have spoken this morning and fond memories of Chuck. If there's anything again that we can do for you, please let us know. We're here for you, and you just stay just as long as you want to and enjoy the time together. I'm going to close in prayer now, and then that will bring this service to a conclusion. If you would like to come to the front and greet the family, then please do so after our prayer. Let me pray. Father in heaven, again, we come before you as the giver and taker of life. Lord, blessed be your name. You give and you take away. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to trust you, that though you take our own lives, that we would give you all our trust and entrust our souls in keeping to you. Lord, we pray in thanks for this nourishment that you are about to provide, and thank you for all the hands that have been busily preparing it, spending time today and yesterday to make sure that this time would be as special as possible for the family. Watch over us, Lord. May our time be helpful and comforting in the midst of this sad hour. Our God, we commend each one to you and to the word of your grace, that they also might entrust the keeping of their souls to Jesus Christ, who loved them and gave himself for them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.